Welcome to the Be Fit to Sit podcast. I'm your host, physiotherapist Kim Siddons, and I hope to equip and encourage you as we talk about healthy exercise, ergonomics, posture, and practical self-care strategies to help you feel and function your best at your desk and beyond. So if you, your family, or your colleagues spend a fair bit of time at your desk or using screens, tune in because this podcast is for you. Welcome to the Be Fit to Sit podcast, episode number 4. I'm physiotherapist Kim Siddons, and today I've got some helpful holiday device advice for you and the family. I really want to help with the school holidays coming up, or they might even be already upon you. Help you facilitate happy holidays in your home where it's peace and no tantrums or real tension around the use of screens, gaming devices, all the electronics that we tend to be spending a lot of more time on during the holidays. So this episode is supposed to be encouraging and empowering for you so that you and your family can have a few discussions and maybe set a few guidelines around what suits you best. I certainly, as a parent, know how hard it is to manage the use of screens and devices in the home. So there is no judgment from my perspective. Each family has a different set of values and different routines and different ideas about what suits them. But I thought if I just came at things with a little bit of advice and some hints about how you might approach this issue, that might help to facilitate a bit more of an understanding between all of you, a bit more communication in your household about what you all think is important and what you think you might be able to do to facilitate a bit more healthy use of your devices and your screens. So, firstly, I did want to point out that we all need to be more aware, probably, of the downsides of using technology. So I'm sure you are so appreciative, like I am, that technology exists, that we have it at our fingertips, on our smartphones, on our tablets, our computers, and even our smart TVs, and all the gaming that we can use for not only education, but also entertainment. It's fantastic. But it really comes with the fact that we need to have an enhanced understanding about responsibly using that amazing technology that's presented to us, so that we can be a little more aware of the problems that might arise if we're not using it in a healthy manner. This is the sort of thing that I love going into schools and talking to students about, because they actually have a little bit more insight when they're prompted to think a bit more deeply about these things. And so when they have more understanding about the harmful effects that might occur if they don't use it properly, they become empowered to actually make some healthy changes. And they also become a bit more equipped with how they might do that in a way that suits them. And so that's what I'm hoping to help you with today, have a little bit more understanding about the downsides and the unhealthy side effects from using technology in a less responsible manner, and then empower you with a few more clues as to how you might turn that around so that your use of technology is so much more to your benefit and doesn't create issues in your family and issues with your own health and with your family members' health. So let's dive into that a bit further today. So yes, there are a few inherent problems with using screens. So all our technological devices have some sort of screen that emits the pictures that we look at. And that is sort of the inherent backbone to why it can be so damaging, or prolonged use, prolonged uninterrupted use of those screens can be damaging to our brains. The screen emits pixelations. And so when we are exposed to the pixelations, when our eyes are engaged in that screen, it actually doesn't really matter so much the content that we're exposed to. I mean, content does matter. It does matter if we're exposed to inappropriate stuff, of course. But irrespective of whether it's appropriate and educational content or content that we need to be looking at and absorbing for our work and our study and our learning, irrespective of that, the screen itself emits light and it emits things coded in pixelations that do affect our brain. So it affects our brain in a positive way in that we can be exposed to particular work-related, learning-related content so that we have things communicated to us. But the fact that it is a screen and it is affecting our brain makes a difference to things that are going on inside our brain. And we won't dive too deeply into that, but just I wanted you to be aware that screen time matters. So we don't really want to have too much uninterrupted screen time sequentially imposed upon our brains without regular breaks. And as we become older, we are not maybe so negatively affected by that screen time, but young developing brains are particularly affected by the emission of the blue light and emission of the pixelations in the screen, irrespective of the content. So I wanted to make you aware, number one, that uninterrupted screen time matters. Now, you might have actually noticed that if you've got children in your household or if you work with children, been around children who've spent any time in front of a screen, they definitely get so absorbed. As time goes on in that uninterrupted screen time, they become more and more and more absorbed. It's to do with the fact that the pathways that those screen, the content that's transmitted into our brains and perceived by our brains, we become more and more tolerant to that. And so we sort of get sucked in and we need more and more and more of it. And we can end up getting quite addicted to that pleasurable effect that comes from being into screen, getting into screens and having uninterrupted screen time. So often when we say to a child, okay, you've been in front of the screen too long, we go to take the screen away and it's tantrum time. They are so engaged, so absorbed in the screen and what's going on in the screen that they can't drag themselves away. And so that's an outworking or an example of how the screen and also the content, and some content is designed to drag us into it more addictively, but the screen itself also has an effect in our brain where it stimulates pleasure centers. It's almost like a drug. And so we tend to need more and more and more of it and can get quite addicted to that screen so that it becomes a real drama when it's time to stop it, to cease it. And of course, the younger the person and the more time they've been watching the screen or engaged in the screen, the more dramatic the effect when it's time to stop. So once we can understand that, and once also children can understand that just any time in front of a screen, uninterrupted, can potentially affect them on an ongoing basis and affect the fact that they can get more addicted to that screen time, we can start to think, okay, how can we combat that? How can we recognize that and help ensure that our children's and also our brains, or research would suggest we're a little bit more in tune and we're a little bit more controlled about our screen time use. We can be, not everyone, but we are more capable as adults of not getting so dramatically affected by that cumulative screen time. So how can we take that on board and help negate that? The first thing obviously we can do is make sure that there's more regular interruptions to that screen time. So making sure that our kids are not left uninterrupted for lengths of time on that screen, so that when we go to take it away, it's not as traumatic for them and there's not the tantrum and there's not the big hoo-ha that might happen if, first of all, they're not aware that there's a boundary on their screen time, and secondly, that they're so drawn into it and sucked into it that it's a really awful experience for them. So I would suggest working out in your family what might suit your child. It depends on the age of the child, and it depends on you and what you would like to set up around that to establish a safe and healthy guideline. So I, in my household, I've got middle primary school age kids and upper primary school age kids, and we have an understanding. We've talked about it. They know that there's a negative side effect on their health if they spend too much time in front of screens. And they know that I will come and interrupt them when it reaches that half hour odd mark and ask them to stop, save and pause and go move away from the screen. Or perhaps if they've had a couple of sessions throughout the day, we might stop it altogether. That's enough time for you today, guys. And they have an understanding that they will need to have regular breaks from their screen. Now, I try to encourage them to have ownership of reminding themselves, taking breaks, and we'll talk about that in a sec, some reminders. But I needed to have that discussion and set that up. And I also am still at the point where I need to police that, because they're not really completely independently able to be capable of making those decisions for themselves. They get sucked into a game that they're playing or a movie that they're watching or something that they're doing on the screen. And I need to take some responsibility. Obviously, there are times when I might be working from home and doing something. And so I might say, okay, guys, I'd rather need you to police it, or let's, for this block of time, say an hour, I've got a meeting online, you can spend this hour, but know that at the end of it, we'll be doing something away from the screen and switching it off. That's an example how you might be flexible, because I completely get that while we can have the best ideas and the best intentions for setting guidelines and setting boundaries around certain things like screen time and device use, that life comes into play and we need to often be a little bit flexible about how we follow up with those boundaries and those guidelines. I'm not saying you have to be a rigid Nazi, but it helps to have some guidelines that then you can play with and some understanding that your children will know that's going to, and some ideas about what we might do instead. Now, I also need to police that with my screen time. I'm certainly not putting myself into the category of being perfect with this. I need to make sure that I'm setting a really good example around my children and that I give myself breaks as well from my phone, from my tablet, my work, my screen time as well. So I'm not expecting them to do something that I'm not practicing myself. I'm a big believer in practice what we preach. I often find when I go into classes and we talk about this that kids will say, yeah, but mom or dad spends all their evenings when they get home from work on their phone. And I know kids exaggerate, so I don't take it too seriously, but that's their perception. That's what they're taking away. And so I do know that we need to be a little bit mindful of that. And I often have to check myself if I feel like I've been, say, on my phone and I might be organizing all the things around logistically getting them to where they need to go, but I need to communicate that so that they don't think that I'm just spending uninterrupted time, hours and hours on end on my phone, that I can say, no, it's time for me to put that down now. I will move away from my phone or move away from my screen or something and do something else, something that is not screen time. So we've talked about the screen. The other factor is the blue light emission. So you might have already worked out that your screen may turn a different color as it goes into the evening. If it does, that's great. You've got it on a setting that's something like nighttime or night shift. There's different modes for different tablets, different devices, and it depends whether you are Android or iOS devices. They're all called different things, but look for a setting in your settings function of your computer, of your tablet, of your phone that allows you to turn down that blue light emission as you're getting more towards the evening. I will dive deeper into that topic on another day, but that is what we can easily do to negate that side effect of the blue light emission. That's one idea anyway that you can quickly and easily do. So the other thing I wanted to briefly talk about was the fact, obviously, that if we're spending a lot of time on our screens, on our devices, that it has an effect on our metabolism as well. So I've already discussed in the podcast in episodes 1 and 2 about how too much sitting really affects our brain and our body's metabolism so that we feel more lethargic, more tired, and we don't have our energy levels at their best. So we need to also consider that when we're thinking about time we're spending on screens, because of the fact that most of our time on screens is sedentary. It's usually sitting. So that's the other side that we need to discuss with ourselves, give ourselves a self-talk, and also with our family members about how sitting for too long is also not good for our health. So what are we going to do about that? We're going to make sure that when we take breaks from our screen, that we try and incorporate something that's a little more physical. Now, it does not mean that you have to put on your running shoes, put on your active wear, and off you go for a run. It doesn't mean that it has to be that, but it definitely means do something preferably that's not in sitting. I wouldn't recommend for a school-age kid that they get off their screen to only sit and read a book for the next 3 hours. It'd be great if they can have lots of little breaks from their screen, but also just to get up off the chair, move around the house, and hopefully do something that they enjoy. Have a chat to your kids about what they would like to do when they have their time off their screen. I don't know about you, but often when I say, okay, guys, time to put the screens away, them down, or turn it off, oh, I'm bored. What do I do now? I've got nothing to do now. That's a common complaint. I'm hoping it's from all children. It certainly is from mine. So we have a little bag of tricks, a little discussion around what are some healthy things, what are some things that you enjoy. They don't want to hear about the healthy side of things. They want to think about what's fun for them. So what's a fun thing that you can easily do in your house that you enjoy that is not sitting down on the couch? So it might be for your kid, let's get out the skateboard or the scooter, or let's go shoot some hoops, or how about you might have a pool, let's have a swim, or let's go for a walk, or let's take the dog for a walk, let's enjoy the sunshine, let's jump on the trampoline. Oh my goodness, trampolines are so underrated. They are such fun for kids and also such great, they have a great ability to stimulate muscle tone and switch on so many amazing systems that are really great for them, which again, we won't go into, but trampolines are awesome. Something fun that they like to do. It might even be a crafty type thing. They might want to go and do, if they're interested in drawing, they might want to have a little break, get up, go and get a drink, move around the house a little bit, and then sit down and do some drawing if they're really into that, or some craft stuff. It doesn't have to be all super active, just changing positions and using some alternative muscles, something different to what they've been doing in front of the screen. So that would be my suggestion. Have a little bit of an idea about what they might do in their break time. some things that they can do by themselves that don't involve your input, some things that they can maybe do with siblings that are around or friends, and some things that they can do on their own. Don't worry, I'm going to be taking my own advice and doing this with my kids. And I know one thing that they actually really like doing is having a couple of board games or card games up their sleeve. And yes, that's not quite as active as some other things, but if they're sprinkling other active things into their day and they can spend a little bit of time, card games are actually quite active when they're interactive and snapping down things and moving cards around, or board games, you tend to still move a little bit more. Maybe not the cardio aspect, but you are engaging with other people and you're moving your muscles differently to just sitting static in front of a screen. That brings me to one of the topics I did want to point out, is that we want to be fostering relationships, healthy relationships with everybody in our household. And obviously different households have different numbers of people in them, but I do find, and there's lots of evidence and research around this, that screen time really tends to draw people into themselves, into their own minds. And that's where the mental health ill effects come in. Bringing people up out of their screens into that real world, face-to-face engagement with other people in their house around them, is a much better way of facilitating a happier, holistic health in someone than just them getting into the screen. So that outside screen time, away from that screen, is so important, particularly in children, where we're wanting to foster good self-worth and self-control and establishing healthy relationships with other people. It needs to be balanced so that they're having a good exposure to healthy relationships and it's not all about the screens. So that's where other little things that they can do, the little breaks that they can do, where they can play with their siblings or play with a friend they've got over in what we call an analog way, in a real world way that isn't reliant on technology and screens. It is so important to foster a creative, confident, balanced child, more than we'd ever know, more than we might think. It's super important. So I really want to point that out, that that's another reason to start just paying some attention to what we can do to help make non-screen time fun and exciting and positive for our kids, so that they don't get sucked into this mental ill health that can come with excessive screen time. Obviously, from my point of view, I am concerned about people's posture when they're using screens, and that's a whole conversation in itself as well, but it is a component of screen time. So we want to make sure that as much as possible, when we're using our screens, that we're setting ourselves up in a way that isn't completely straining on our posture. So pay a little bit of attention to how you might be sitting when you're watching TV or when you're on a device. Some little things about not being completely twisted to play a game or watch a screen or use a device, not being completely hunched over a device. We might raise it a little bit, either with cushions or with our hands, so that we're not slouched and head slumped over it. We might make sure that we're using wireless controls on some gaming so we can go back and sit in a more a more healthy, supported position. I often notice when kids are cross-legged on the floor attached to their device via wire and looking up at a screen, that can be a really slouched, static posture that doesn't use a lot of muscle support and doesn't encourage mobility in their posture. Whereas if they're back a little bit, they can often be a little bit more free to move. So there's just some quick tips, some quick things to think about. Once you tap into that and think, okay, in my setting, this is what the kids tend to be doing, or this is what I tend to be doing, you'll be creative enough to come up with a little bit of an insight into ways that are going to suit you to either raise your device or sit a little bit more appropriately so you're not completely tucked under into a slouch position, or so that to to facilitate a little bit more movement. So posture, yes, please pay attention to that. And that includes how you're going to set up and hold your device or have it supported so that you're not looking down at it or looking up at it so much. The setup makes a difference. So all those little things can be super important. The other thing is it is good to have your device in an area or your screen in an area where everyone can be a little bit more engaged. I think the more locked away and separated we are, and particularly our children are on their devices, the more it sort of drags them into that alone time with their device. And it is much healthier if they can be situated in an area where they're more aware of their surroundings. It keeps them a little bit more less likely to get sucked in mentally, a little bit more aware of what's going around. The people around them still be able to converse with people around them. They're not getting so drawn in and stuck in that world of whatever they're watching or playing in on the screen. So maybe think about where the device is. Do you get your kids to use the bigger TV out in the common room rather than sitting on their laptop locked away in their room or on a device in their room? That's another consideration that you might like to make so that there's more facilitation of healthier relationships in the house and we can interact with each other on the screen. So watching a movie out in an area where everybody can watch it and engage around it, even if we're just walking in and out and not so intent on the actual movie, you're a little bit more likely to engage with each other. The other thing that I wanted to quickly mention was have a thought about whether or not your tactic might be rewarding your child or your kids or even yourself for healthy use of your screens and using those screens in a great way as opposed to consequences. So sometimes we think about the consequences, what's going to happen. So if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And we certainly want to make sure that we follow up with what we're advising and putting in place the boundaries and guidelines in our house. But have a little think, what's going to suit you? You might think, okay, everyone, if you are really responsible about your use of devices today, this is what we're going to do as a family afterwards, or this is our reward for ourselves. Sometimes I know in my house, if things aren't followed through and people don't adhere to the guidelines we've all agreed on, the consequence is that it goes away for some length of time, that they're put away, they're hidden. And my kids will vouch for that. Yes, I am the Nazi and say, sorry, guys, you didn't do what you were asked to do. You didn't adhere to our guidelines. And now we're going to have a day without it or a night without it or a weekend without it, without access to those games or those devices. So whatever suits you, there is no right and wrong in this topic. It's what suits and sits right with your family. These are just little things you might like to think about to help facilitate a happier, healthier relationship and healthier people in your house around the use of devices. So I hope that that has given you some food for thought. Take away what suits you and discard what doesn't suit your family or what isn't appropriate for you guys. I would love to hear if you've got specific questions around that. I'm more than happy to try and support you in this area. It is a journey. We're all on this journey towards trying to help ourselves and our family members become more responsible and more healthy with our use of technology. So please reach out to me if you need. I'm so excited that you're on this journey with the Be Fit to Sit podcast as we all start to become a little bit more happier and healthier with our use of technology, our use of movement and facilitating healthier postures, and all towards feeling and functioning our best. So that's it for me for today. I look forward to hearing from you and also sharing more with you in the next episode of the Be Fit to Sit podcast. Bye for now.